Eden Yell says, A Cruel Angel's Thesis, for that's the song I was humming.
Oh, well, then you were really, I just couldn't tell what you
were. Ba-da-ba,
William! You're so off, it's not even funny. Welcome to another episode of Unresolved Sexual Tension. My name is Katie, and today I am here with my one co-host, William.
Handsome and rugged. She didn't say it, but we can all see it. And today we're doing something very different than we normally do. Normally, we review books. We read one, and then we say our thoughts on it, and we're right, and then we get some comments talking about how we're wrong even months later, but we're still right. But today, I thought it would be cool to try and, like, plan out how we would adapt some of the books we've read into video games. When I say I think it would be cool, Chantel from our Discord had the idea, and I wanted to make it a whole thing. And me and Katie are very much gamers. Maria, not so much. She, like, doesn't quite have the intellectual capacity for it. This is actually something I like to do in my, like, my free time, is I often, like, just plan out video game design documents, even from, like, my own stories or worlds or whatever, or just, or redesign games that I'm playing. And, like, you know, the thing about video games, and we'll talk about, we'll just say this up front, is that, like, no plan survives first contact with the coding board. Like, everything we're going to be planning out obviously would be subject to revision and change in an actual game. It'll be fun to go through, though, and kind of plan out. And what we haven't really talked about which book we're going to do first, because I think it would be fun to just even start from the very beginning of, like, okay, what can make for an interesting experience that's not just a one-to-one from the book, because books to movies can kind of be like scene for scene remakes, but like a book to a game, that really would not work. Even like you need gameplay mechanics involved. Even very narratively heavy games tend to have gameplay mechanics involved. I just realized I have
my thing all the way over here.
I was gonna say, okay, so I was being so very funny. Polite, but I was like, Will, why do you sound like you're in a can?
No, you gotta tell me. All right. Okay, so that was funny. Haha, we meant to do that. Hi, it was a test to see if you guys would notice in the comments. Yeah, I thought it would be fun to look at how different art forms and different mediums can tell stories differently and be optimized differently. So, like, for example, I've talked before about how, like, you shouldn't try to describe facial expressions too much in books compared to movies, because movies have actors with faces, which is a hugely versatile tool, whereas in a book you can be like, she smiled, or like, she smiled faintly with a twinkle in her eye,
said William, the guru of all writing.
I'm just saying, like, you just, with words are a clumsy tool compared to the human face for expression, and video games are an even more out there narrative medium than movies. So I thought that would be kind of just like an interesting thing to go through. Katie is having intestinal difficulties.
Oh, geez, Louise. I put too much sugar in this espresso. It's so disgusting.
You doing okay?
There's so much sugar. Why did I do that? Ugh.
It was so sugary, it turned your hair pink. So right from the start, Marie says, what's the best book to game that's been done? I actually don't know of almost any that have been done without a movie first. The one exception I would say is I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. That's a Harlan Ellison story, I believe. And, like, he actually wrote the script for the game. And because the original book was a short story, it wasn't a book, apparently it gets expanded a lot, and a lot of the themes are expanded on it. And also, he's narrating it, and he has a really weird voice. I've never played it, though. That's just what I hear. But honestly, again, I can't think of any others that didn't go first through, like, a movie adaptation to, the, like, Jurassic Park is, like, a book, but everybody bases the games on it off of the movies, you know what I mean? I don't really know of any that are just doing one to the other. The Witcher! Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Shoot, yeah, that's a really good first choice.
Metro is actually also a really good example.
I was gonna say that too. There's Harry Potter, there's lots of different types of Harry Potter games.
Those were a movie first, though.
There's Alice in Wonderland. Alice the Madness Returns and shit like that.
Yeah, there's also like fairy tales and stuff like that. Madness, yeah, Alice, that's actually kind of an interesting one.
There is that one, Game of Thrones one that's on Telltale.
Yeah, but that one's sort of based off the TV show as well. You can tell artistically because the faces for the TV actors are worse than the normal ones. The Wolf Among Us is based off of a comic. I think actually there are more comic book ones, but in terms of like prose books, I think there's less. Halo did game to book, and I think there are a lot of these, including Warhammer. Yeah, there's a lot of first a game, then a book. Mass Effect also has some. I read a God of War one back when it was like Greek fighting man, not conflicted dad with a beard.
There's also a couple of Lord of the Games rings that would fit under this category.
Lord of the Games rings is what you just said.
Did I really?
Yeah, that's so funny. But the thing about it that, again, I find interesting is that doing a one-to-one, I think, is very difficult outside of certain mediums. Like a Sherlock Holmes game, I think, makes sense. You know, that is an existing genre of like a puzzle game.
The Witcher, I think, is the prime example, honestly.
And a lot of times they're doing more of like in the world of than they are doing a one-to-one from the book, which I don't think is bad. I just think it's kind of an interesting thing to note. Because again, games need to have a spatial dimension and they need to have a gameplay mechanic that's reusable and can tell you through it and show you things through it. So for an example of this is Papers, Please is a, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do Google Images so that we can have visuals on screen while we do this. Present share screen. Again, guys, just battling these Russian hackers a lot. Me and Elon Musk. So everyone be cool if it's like, did you mean papers and boobs? You know what I mean?
Wait, is Papers, Please the one where you like have trucks come by? No, it's this one. I remember. This one's a hard game.
Yeah. So basically the idea behind this game is you play like an immigration officer or some kind of a apparatchik, like a bureaucracy member, and your pay is based off of like how many people you get through. And so like you need to check the different parts of the papers to see if they match up, and then some people you let through and some you don't, but you're incentivized to like be corrupt and make and be bad to other people. And so like,
oh, really?
It plays in between. Yeah, it's a really interesting game in that respect. The gameplay arc of it is like a very interesting. I haven't played it, which is why I'm speaking about it a little abstractly.
I've watched gameplay on this a lot from Moist Critical and a couple other people.
Hey guys, the cool thing about Papers, Please is that if you look at it, it's a...
You're close.
That's Moist Critical. That's Moist Critical.
You're close. It would have been like, hey guys, today I'm going to be talking about... all right, cool. See ya.
Chantel says, so are y'all doing an SGJM book for this? Or was that thumbnail just to meant to jump scare us? Yes, that was a jump scare. That was
No, but I would like a small moment of comedy for us to actually seriously try to consider what we could make into that.
Okay, so let's start with that, actually. Because actually, let me break down. So I broke this into a few lists. Basically, I went through our list of popular videos, because again, I would like clickbait and to make lots of money. And the problem is that a lot of the ones that I thought would actually be very good, Maria is either key to, because she's the only one that read it, or Maria, I think, would like to be included in. And so, like, this is more or less the version that I think we can do. Because, like, again, yeah, all this other stuff is mostly stuff people have written. There's other things, so I made a list of, like, vague categories in case I want to, like, go through it later. By the way, I named this Books to Adapt for Games for Profit and Glory. So that should give you an idea. So like, I think right off the bat, let's try to do ACOTAR. I think ACOTAR is hard for a couple of reasons. The first is that...
Oh, okay. Can I begin, actually?
You may.
Because I have like a really big... I just feel like it's probably going to be very similar to yours. If it's not, then fair enough. ACOTAR would be like trying to convert a paint-by-numbers game into a video game. And what I mean by that is that like... That was like a weird metaphor. But what I mean is like...
I was going to say, that was not to make a ton of sense, but go ahead, Katie.
I didn't even mean that like as an insult. What I meant is like literally try to imagine to make that into like a narrative game or something like that. But that didn't make sense. In my little weird brain, it does.
No, it does. Because, okay, so like one example I think is that like, what
God,
is
God, I love this artwork though.
I know. It's annoying how nice artwork is for shitty series. This is also like... By the way, a thing I've noticed is that pretty girls tend to like shitty series, and it's not fair.
Well, the person who actually does this artwork used to do artwork for Frost Iron, if I remember correctly,
or
something.
All right, fine.
Okay, yes. I've seen a lot of her work everywhere over the years, so it's just really funny. No, but let me retranslate that. What I mean is that ACOTAR has so many moving parts in it that a video game, like Will has said, as far as books go, is in a clock, there are no gears that are not being utilized. And in a video game...
Who said that? Hemingway?
Shut up. And so in a video game, that's really true. It's because, like, it's very mechanical in nature. There's literally coding that goes into it. And when it's a messy, bad video game, obviously it's just like a messy, bad book. But if you're going to make it into a video game, I feel like it would be extremely hard to capture, like, full essence of what ACOTAR is. It's because there are just so many different mechanisms that aren't being used in a core, like, required.
So, like, part of it is, like, you could probably make this, like, okay.
I'll link the artist, everyone, as he's talking.
Well, you can also just look up ACOTAR. That was the first thing that, like, came up. So Melody says, press X to thrust, and then Hotplot says, perfect, yeah. Melody, then you don't have to change the key controls when it swaps from sword fighting to erotica.
Wait, you gotta say that again. I'm not on the thing. Read it to me.
Okay, Melody said, press X to thrust, like, in terms of the gameplay.
Oh, like in God of War during that one scene?
Yeah, or press F to pay respects, like in the Call of Duty meme. And that's the thing, is that with games, you don't really want controls that are too contextual. You want controls or aren't too specific to specific situations, unless you're a Telltale game. You want, like, a specific design language. What? Control language. Mortal Kombat, make it ACOTAR, the fatalities would be spicy scenes.
Oh my god, that would be sick as fuck, though! Like, no, but I mean that seriously, though. Like, while that wouldn't exactly be a one-to-one, that is actually a better option, because there are so many characters, but there's no, like... You don't have to go full into plot in a game like that. That's just one-on-one, like, legit Mortal Kombat style. So that could actually work.
So, like, I could see, for example, like, a prequel game where, like, it's an open world where Pharah's a hunter doing hunter things, for example. But, like, how do you... But the plot of, like... And I should say, for pretty much every book we're going to be looking at, you could make this into an adventure game. Like, adventure games are the most book-like function, because, or not function, the most book-like form for a book to take, because it's just a narrative, and then you just add puzzles, and the puzzles don't have to have a singular mechanic. They can all just have different mechanics, like, you know, pixel hunting and stuff. And that's one of the reasons people don't like them, is because they operate a bit off of dream logic. So we're not going to do that, even though that's an option for all of these. These could all also be Telltale games where you just make branching decisions. I think that would be really cool, but again, that can just be for all games. So unless there's something about it that captures our imagination, I don't think that's necessarily an interesting route to pursue.
Show the viewers what I found. I still haven't found the artist name. I'm so sorry. It's taking me so...
Apparently, there's a scene in the Court of Silver Flames where Nesta... has a moment where she thinks about how cool it would be being by Azrael and Cassian, to put it succinctly. And people really like to draw that in fan art.
I just, like, shut down for a minute and then kept going because you said the word and I just...
I know. Died. I'm sorry, Mom. Don't pay attention to this part. What's going on?
No, what I was going to say is, my original take on this was to have basically, like, one of those JRPG dating games, where you have, like, you know, the list of dating simulator people, and then you have, like, the hidden one that you have to, I've mentioned this before, that you have to, like, do extra stuff for in order to unlock. That's basically what I picture ACOTAR being. It's because those games, whether due to translation or because it's just the way it is massively confusing. There is no good narrative there.
So part of the problem is that, like, if this was like an adventure game, like, you didn't, or an adventure narrative, like, you didn't read it, but, like, Godkiller is like, we need to go from one place to another place. That you can kind of make into, like, an action game, like, you fight enemies along the way, or there's some exploration, you know, Last of Us style kind of a thing. But, like, the problem with ACOTAR is that it's a lot of sitting around daily life where nothing happens. And so that doesn't really lend itself to a mechanic. Again, I actually think, again, maybe the best way to do it would be like a Telltale choices kind of a thing, but, like, that can spiral out of control very quickly. And so, like, yeah, that's one of the reasons that, like, I would love for algorithm reasons make this...
Can we have a list of types of gaming?
Yeah. I actually have that.
Do you have it? So, real-time strategy, Final Fantasy, yes. Open world, Souls-like. Could you imagine an ACOTAR Souls-like? How would that even work?
That would be
work?
So funny. Well, it would be like... Again, the thing is, like...
I know. You would be Pharah. But you would be, like, if you're going to include, like, the same characters. Except for its first book, and we're not even going to touch the second or third book. And it's the first book, and it's her going into fairy world, and all of the fairy world is basically the depressing translation of it.
See, I think that would be kind of interesting, but, I mean, again, the problem is the narrative in the first book is Tamlin is keeping me in a castle and I don't get to do stuff.
See, but the characters lend themselves to that kind of concept, like Val's saying here, like with the
Weaver.
Get
your ass handed to you by the Weaver. The other problem is that there's no, like, interesting magic system in ACOTAR, so, like, that can't really become a gameplay mechanic. It would just kind of become, like, hunt around with a bow, like that one level in Last of Us. So that's kind of the thing, is that I like it most when things are really interesting in terms of the mechanic. I think often games pile on mechanics when really they just need to refine their base one into something better. Like Halo, for example, like every time they keep trying to add new gadgets after the first one to make the gameplay more, like, complex, they always just end up undoing them next game because they don't really add anything to the trio of, like, gun, melee, grenade. But okay, just very quickly then, platformer, that's another one that's sort of, like, easy-ish to do. Shooter, Bioshocker. Oh, I thought, like, a Bioshock game would be kind of funny.
We have, actually, you can do ACOTAR with alternate timelines where you get punished for mistakes, a la an old Sierra. Oh, online adventure where you can die a thousands of ways. It's just, the problem is ACOTAR is so romance heavy. I think if you're going to carry over that core value, it has to be a dating sim, basically.
Well, I mean, I think you could probably do a Baldur's Gate Mass Effect.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you could. And look, it would be realistic. Yeah, it's Mass Effect. You would do a Mass Effect version of this.
Yeah, and I think probably what you would do is you would just move a lot of the sitting around the city into, like, going through the wilds or something. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
and then going to the different courts or the different planets, and you have to travel in between and stuff.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense, I think, actually, is that your home base is Valeris, where you're like, hey, hold on, an ACOTAR dating sim sounds like something that
there
exists.
There probably is an ACOTAR dating sim.
I also think of Stardew Valley, where she's, like, remaking Valeris and the novelette would be kind
of
funny.
That would be really adorable, but in a completely, that would be so not, it wouldn't resemble it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think Mass Effect is probably the best, or The Witcher, where there are, like, two love interests and five people you could be.
Yeah, actually.
I was so pissed when I watched the TV show and I realized they replaced the hot redhead with, like, a boring chick. Ugh. I hate.
I don't even remember who they replaced What's-Her-Face with.
Yeah, I think a Mass Effect probably makes the most sense. You add in some magic powers for Feyre. You add in some more, like, Dragon Age, which I didn't play. It's basically Dragon Age, but yeah, Valeris would be your home base, and then you and whoever go on missions, and then it's like, oh, you have to make moral choices. Do you steal from the Gold King or do you tell him?
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
Like that kind of a
exactly
thing.
Exactly. Yes.
And then in the next game, all your choices are invalidated because the designers thought it would be too much work.
Are you talking about Dragon Age still? Because that's incorrect.
No, I'm talking about Mass Effect.
Oh, okay. No, in Dragon Age, it mattered.
No, an immersive sim is what Bioshock is. Yeah, Bioshock, though, to me, is like a very specific genre of dystopian society has fallen, and now it's an immersive sim for something like Dishonored, which is an immersive sim, even more so than Bioshock, which is even less so than a game like Deus Ex. But anyway, yeah, I think that kind of makes sense. I think that would probably be the thing that makes the most sense. But I think that's all you really could do, because again, the magic system isn't super interesting. It's not like there's an interesting...
It's the relationships that are the big focus in the book anyway, so it would be more relationship-based things with a little bit of tactical stuff or like storytelling, like choice dependent stuff.
And honestly, it should not have voice acting or
no,
realistic
it would be like
models. It should be more like old school Fallout kind of games, or what Obsidian is doing now, because like it's crazy how much having to have voice lines and good graphics drags your game down in terms of like being able to rewrite the story to make sense. Like I was watching H Bomber Guy's video on Fallout. No, it was on the new Deus Ex where they're like, yeah, we couldn't go back and fix things. We kind of just had to leave the voice lines like they were. But okay, so I think that's kind of a good...
Yeah, it's a good warm-up.
So that would be ACOTAR.
Please delete that. I can't take it seriously.
Yes, I'm deleting that, you weirdo. So ACOTAR would become Dragon Age with more sex. Piranesi is a mist game. That would be kind of dope, I'm not going to lie. I also thought of something that's like has a little bit of like survival elements, because survival elements really make you understand a environment. And that's one thing games are really good at, is environmental storytelling, because you're in moving through all these environments. I feel like anyone who would play an Akatar game would want to hear a deep, sultry voice for Rhysand. Yeah, I mean, it's
but
true.
But it would be like really
It would
lame.
Be a high production game. It would game, be really But lame. Like, ideally.
It would be like, hey, I can't do it. I'm sorry. I can't make a deep voice, unfortunately, but it would be like, hey, Farrah, darling. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, I hear it in my voice. I hear it in my ear already, a voice actor I've watched. By the way, anybody who likes dating sims that wants a legit dating sim, what's that one again called? Something Daddy or something? Daddy.
Octodad?
No, it's like the best dating sim. It's called Dream Daddy.
I've never played a dating sim in my life.
Dream Daddy. Where you play a dad, a single dad, and
So Octodad actually is a really good example of a game that takes a unique mechanic to tell its story. So like the idea behind it is that you're trying to control an octopus with a bunch of hands with realistic physics, or not hands, with like tentacles.
Look, when you play Dream Daddy, you have the dad bod dad, you have the hot like hipster dad, you have the hot academic dad, you have the a boy next door dad who actually has a wife and he has to cheat on his wife with you for it to work. Single dad right here with a baby, vampire dad, and a drug addict, absent father, who you can help come back into. See, look right there. Bad dad.
Okay. So Octodad. Octodad is a game where you kind of...
Oh my God, it looks so dumb!
No, it's great! Basically, again, you control it through kind of weird physics, so you're kind of moving all over the place, and it's hard to control. And, like, that's the thing, is, like, he's a dad trying to keep everything together. And, like, that's kind of an interesting mechanic to base, like, the awkwardness of, like, family around, as, like, a metaphor or something, you know what I mean? And so, like, that's a good example of something that would be, like, a cool idea that I think could be expanded on. It's sincerely a good game. Yeah, that's what I've heard. I never played it, because the guy kind of creeps me out, I'm not gonna lie. The other book that I think actually would be very easy to not convert or whatever. What would be Fourth Wing? So Fourth Wing, I think, is easy because you just skip all the bullshit before the dragon gets there and you have it be a dragon combat game.
No. A la that one game that's really awful and it has all the horrible endings and it's a Japanese game. God damn, what's it called?
I have no idea what you're talking about. There's another game recently that came out with dragons that I forget. It's like Reign of Fire or Rain or something. I'm blanking on the name. Why is every picture on the internet a picture for ants? There we go. So it's like Lair, where I think the thing with Lair was that you would like jump from one dragon to the other. I feel like this could work. I had a dragon game planned out that I kind of was looking at. Let me see if I can find that. So like I would probably just move all the mechanics over there, because the problem is that like there's not really interesting mechanics involved in Fourth Wing, like in terms of the magic. So you could have like the normal dragon attacks, and then like Violet could have like lightning, I guess.
Oh God, thank you. Yeah, a la Drakengard. Oh, thank you, Science Fantastic. Thank you so much. Oh my God, I just can't tell you. Drakengard, I don't know if you've ever seen gameplay or played it before, but literally the flying parts were too long. They were too long. You had to do so many aerial battles for like an hour and a half. Also at the end, one of the seven endings is like you going to Tokyo, Japan, and like a giant baby, like I don't remember. Something happens with a giant baby. I really liked the one song, though, from Drakengard. Honestly, I have literally no idea what you're talking about.
That's a Neon Evangelion Genesis. Genesis Evangelion something.
Sorry, I'm going to stop going down this little rabbit hole.
Cruel Angel's Thesis from Neon. Yes, that's what it is. I can't believe you don't know that. That's such a, like, it's probably before your time, I guess, because you're so young.
I just don't know what you're talking about.
Eden Yell says, A Cruel Angel's Thesis, for that's the song I was humming.
Oh, well, then you were really... I just couldn't tell what you... I have the Evangelion, like, soundtrack.
Oh my God, what is this? You're gonna lose your Patreon membership. Will wasn't humming it well. Will is humming it perfectly.
William!
What?
You're so off, it's not even funny. And you're even going not. In the same... William, I'm pretty sure I knew this song before you knew this song. I'm pretty sure I was given this in my cradle.
Excuse you. I would play it, but I don't want a copy strike, okay? But mine was extremely accurate. I'm going to break this...
We really
chapters.
Jesus,
that's
going
to be
off.
Will tries to hum anime openings. So yeah, back to Fourth Wing. I think the thing about it is you could probably do it less as a Mass Effect game and more as like just a straight action game with dragons. Oh my gosh, what was that face?
I guess.
Are there a lot of story elements?
You're so funny. No, I feel like there's already a video game of Fourth Wing out there, but it's just not Fourth Wing. That's all.
There actually aren't a lot of good dragon combat games. Again, Lair was like 20 years ago. There's one out now, whose name I'm forgetting, that's like a multiplayer game that I hear is pretty good. But like if you look up like dragon video game, it's always just like an enemy.
You know what I personally think? Although I really think Temeraire deserves this if we were... Like, not that we're going to talk about that because that's a Maria book. Honestly, Temeraire deserves what I'm about to say, not Fourth Wing. But if we were to do Fourth Wing, I'd say you're literally going to be, I would think, one of two ways. Basically, the Warhammer thing, but in the sky.
Oh, RTS. Yes, that's what I've always thought, is that it would be really cool to have an RTS of Temeraire, where it's even like certain dragons can fly higher because they're less heavy, and you have to watch out for range and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, so you do that with basically with Fourth Wing if you were going to try to like convert it. And then you could also do a combination of like, so you're doing the big battle stuff, but then every now and again, a skirmish. Oh my God.
Skirmish.
Thank you. I just, for some reason, couldn't.
What was that?
No. But anyway, so, and then every now and again that happens, and so it zooms in on one particular dragon, and you have to control the individual people on that dragon doing the different things, and it's like from one, like, kind of almost like Time Crisis-y, where it goes from like one person and then it goes to the next person. It's like it's quick time, but it's also, you know what I mean?
That's interesting, actually. That could work. I think also somebody, hold on. Science Fantastic said Temeraire would be a better game, to be honest. You could do more with that. Yeah,
yes.
Because you could also have a certain amount of like a crew management in between levels thing, where like you're like, okay, this gunner gets, you know, upgraded and this one doesn't, and we find a new piece of armor for Temeraire, and then I have to make moral choices, and that will like make some of the crew like me and others don't, and then I get like cool wing leaders.
So it's literally full management system, kind of like Crusader Kings, but like not political on that kind of level.
Yeah, no, it's much lower. It's much more of like I'm trying to think of a game that does it well, but I can't think of one off the top of my head. But yeah, that kind of a thing I think would be really cool for Temeraire. I guess you could do that. Nah, you can't really do that for Fourth Wing, because Fourth Wing is just one dragon. The way I imagine the flight would work actually is a lot like it does in Just Cause 2 with the wingsuit, which uses a lot of like momentum.
I haven't played that.
I haven't played it either, but I was watching a guy talking about how the Iron Man should be able to maneuver in the air if you were making an Iron Man game, and they compared it to like...
Yes!
Yeah, to that kind of a Just Cause, like you use momentum, but like to stop kills it, and then to go higher takes energy, and then going down you gain it, but then you kill it. And like that would be kind of an interesting way of doing it instead of just a flight simulator, you know what I mean? Because a flight simulator kind of plays into... it's more plane-like, and I don't think that's as interesting. And then, like, when you crash into other dragons, you get to do, like, a little bit of a mini-game.
Yes! Exactly! Yeah, just like a Pokemon battle, basically.
Or, honestly, like, the glory kills in, Doom. That would be kind of cool. Like the
in
dragon
which,
and the
oh,
other
Doom. Yes.
The other dragon is like mortally wounded, so you come in from the side and you hit them and like Phew! Rip them apart.
That would be sick. Like every battle finisher in any game where it's like a little animated or whatever, but like a quick time event, so that way you feel a little like engaged with it.
Yeah, you don't want it to be super long though. Lair had this thing where it had like a mini fighting game involved, I think, when the dragons clashed, and like that wasn't super interesting. I guess what you could do is let's lay them out a little bit, and just cuz like this is how I tend to is I have this, which is like a game controller.
Oh my God, stop
in
it.
In text form. Fourth Wing MMO. Oh God, that would be awful. Okay, let's say that Tiernanok can do like a fire stream, right? Fire attack. And then Violet could do like an electric lightning.
Thunder. Come down, and then it's like it's a wide area effect, so it affects like five enemies at once.
I was thinking like chain lightning.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of thing. But then she can also stop time for a while. So she could be
oh, you're right.
Because she'll be like, it'll be like Marvel versus Capcom, where it's like, What's her name again? Shoot. The little golden dragon.
Oh, God, I can't remember. In this version, also, she should have three dragons, and you get to pick different mounts each time because, like, for different missions. Because,
and Darna. Like, Darna. Thank you, Val. So, no, she'd be like, and Darna, I choose you. Come in here, and Darna. Help us out. And then she just flies in,
like slows a power time. Up.
And then, yeah, and then you can do that, which is really dumb, honestly, in the book. But outside of it, fun.
You should also have like a pounce attack. Pounce. And that would be like pounce. And that would be like a glory kill where you like dash forward and grab the dragon and another dragon and rip it apart. A wyvern, I think, in this one. Or a griffin. We got movement. We got aim. We got a speed boost. My idea behind this is like you're moving forward all the time. I like the idea of like two dragons like flying and then you just flaming them, and as you flame them like skin blisters, or if it's a World War One plane like it starts to explode and fall apart.
I mean, yes, that would be super cool. But you know what, also I'm thinking, so you know, most of it is magic focused and everything and all of that, but we also got like, we would incorporate like you know how like there are weaknesses to certain things. So her power is lightning. So if somebody else had something that could counter that, so it also includes that kind of strategy level to it.
Yeah, it could. I think it would be tough because she only has lightning and fire via like the dragon.
Okay, fine. Elemental magic versus something like, say, and then boss battles are people who have like, for example, the time thing, for example, right? Versus the...
Yeah. No, yeah. I think that's cool. I think my big problem is that often I don't like elemental systems because it's a rock, paper, scissors, shoe. And the thing is like, well, why didn't I equally spec in all different elements then? If it's just going to be, if certain enemies are going to randomly be able to beat me because they, you know.
Make it story focused. But then you, like, you know what I mean? Like, so different, those different outcomes result in different accommodations depending on the story arc of that part of the game. Does that make sense?
That actually is kind of interesting. Are you ignoring the mind reading and magic mechanics for this?
Yes.
Well, the thing is, Zayden is Cortana. He's the guy who sits around and gives you orders in every game. You know how like they always have someone on the radio?
Yes.
So he's giving you orders and stuff like that.
And then every now and again, when you get an A++++ for a mission, you get a cutscene at the end where they start making out and they close the door and all you hear is like, ah!
Yeah. You know, and it's just a God of War sex scene where there's like a vase that goes vroom, 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 and then whoosh.
Yeah,
you've never seen those? The early ones had like
a
mini game type of thing.
I know.
So I think the next thing to do would be to try to pick a book that would actually be really interesting to do, because up to this point, okay, ACOTAR, Fourth
Wing,
we've
gotten our warm-ups in, you know, we've gotten our mind juices flowing. Oh, I have a double chin. Everyone ignore that. Continue.
Well, okay, so here's the other games that I had made from the list. So I thought Gideon the Ninth would be fun, just because it's Gideon.
It's Gideon.
Ninth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not Good for Maidens, I actually think could be interesting. That's the book that was like two different storylines of two women in Salisbury Fair at different points in time dealing with this underground kingdom. And I just thought that would be kind of interesting because you could do something where you could switch back and forth between protagonists at and like what you do in one timeline could affect the other timeline because it's like the Fae realm. And you're dealing with characters both in the past and in the present. And I think that would be kind of like a cool mechanic to map out.
Wait, Val called it. You and I, literally Will and I were talking about this the other day. We legit said this the other day. I was like, yeah, like the Barbie Writing Club.
I think it could work. Okay, here's my pitch for it. Here, let me grab some visuals. So I was thinking like a Darkest Dungeon kind of style where it's like kind of weirdly creepy despite also being very kind of abstract at times. Like there's a lot of horror games that make use of like either low poly or kind of a sketchy art style that I think could really work with the Scorpio races to kind of, because like if you do Scorpio races in like 3D nice art, the horses aren't going to be scary, they're not going to be creepy, they're just going to look like high poly horses.
Yeah, but kind of like that pixely format comboed with this kind of like wet slather kind of like watercolory vibe, either one of those would do really well. It's because you could make it literal art, so I feel like that would be, well, I mean, I guess you could argue the other ones are literal art. I don't mean like it's a higher art form. I just mean it's more impressionistic for horror.
And I think that could work cool in terms of like there's a certain management of the horses going on, in that there's like you're Sean Kendrick managing a stable and like you have to be careful to feed the horses a certain amount. And like, I think you could say things about your relationship with the horses through that, through the mechanics of that.
I'm viewing it more from a story-driven perspective where you're actually Puck And your Puck's perspective and Sean Kendrick is another, like, NPC that, like, you are romance, like, it's in the story. You're not actually romancing, but in the story, it's romanced. And so through her, you have to deal with it. But it couldn't be, like, book verbatim. It's because in order to utilize the Kapalishka, you would have to have her. Either that or you switch.
Yeah.
I mean, what am I saying? You switch perspectives between Sean and her, and hers is story-driven, and his is more, like, strategy horse character.
Well, you could even do a certain amount of contrast in that she also has a relationship with her horse you have to manage, but her horse is like
a normal horse,
horrific, so it gives you an idea of what normal looks like. And then Sean Kendrick is dealing with, like, the Kapalishka and, like, wanting to eat people.
You know the game I mentioned that one time, the one where it's the whore and you're in and everything's dark except for immediately around you, and it's Darkwood.
Yes. So Darkwood, like, so creepy.
You know how there are moments in games like that where it's like, open the window or squish the bug, and then you squish it, and it's like a strange worm just came out. It has 10 eyes. Like, it then it, like, slips in something really creepy, and then you move on, and that's it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm looking up Darkwood.
You would do that where, like, you, so when you're playing Puck, and you're feeding the horses, it's all just, like, you know, Barbie. And then you go into, yeah, exactly. And then when you go into his version of things, like, you have to make choices, and, like, bad things might happen. Like, it's a darker version of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's smart, too, in terms of having it a farther away, no, like, or very little voiced dialogue.
Highly. Yes, yes. And so it's even creepier, and it's more maybe music or sound, because this game is heavy on sound. You can't play this without audio. It's because that's the only way you can avoid certain enemies and stuff, because everything outside this little light. And then later on, this is an upgraded version where you get more light. So that's why you have the light this way.
Yeah, if you look at, like, this one, for example, like, it's very specifically light is being blocked by objects, which is really cool. I think something like this, and then I forget what his horse is called, but, like, the relationship there is, like, you know, if you make certain bad choices in how you treat him and how you do certain, like, read his body language, for example, you get eaten. Like, he'll just eat you and it's game over.
Or maybe not him, but the other horses you take care of, and he's the only one you don't have, or you have to, like, you have, like, a higher build for.
I like the idea that, like, you both love, you love this thing that could also eat you and you don't know. And I think that would create in the player a certain amount of tension of, like, oh,
am
okay.
I gonna... Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a thing you need to respect. I think you could have mechanics where we have Scorpio races. So, for example, I think, like, horse body language, I think that would be an interesting thing to have as actually, like, a system in the game. Like, if his ears are back for, and this is all from an isometric or even a side scroller perspective.
Yes.
His ears are back. He's kind of cantering around a little bit. He's following people with his eyes. It would be something where it's not like +2 points to read horse body language. No, it would be like, okay, this is an actual
You have, like, to pay attention to this. So it's almost like a, you know those games that got really popular, although I have no idea why because I hate them? It's when you, like, have different security cameras or stuff, or you're walking through a house, and each room you go to, you have to figure out if there's, like, that paranormal essence there or whatever. So, and the way mm-hmm. you figure it out is if something is moved or something is, like, going off or something. It's basically that, but a horse.
So you would also have responsibilities for the feed schedule. You could also have the exercise schedule. And so something like, if you don't exercise the horses enough, they start to get more dangerous. Again, I think not a meter, but, like, just a kind of, like, sense of, like, oh, what's going on? So something like that I think would be cool. It could play into that Papers, Please sense, too, of, like, oh, you know, there's a limited amount of time in the day, yes. and I've got to work through this. And the thing is, like, it's on a real timer.
That's the same thing with Darkwood, too. You're on a timer day by day. So you only have so many hours of sunlight before these really awful things come out at night. So it's the same thing.
It's very similar, yeah. And so you could even have that. I don't think you would have necessarily a combat system, but I think some kind of, like, a punching mechanic where, like, if the horse comes at you too fast, you might be able to dodge a little bit or, like, try to re-grab their handle or something like that. I think that could be kind of cool. What are you doing?
Me?
Yes. What are those?
I just put glasses on to match my hair.
If you're outside at night in Darkwood, you're fucked. Yes. Yeah. So something like, I think that could be like a really, because again, you want to create this sense of like, okay, I don't quite know what's going on with the horses. And I there could even be a certain amount of randomization in their body language in that it's not a one-to-one. There's always a certain amount of hesitancy in you to know if they're going to attack you or not.
If the ears are back, just back, that's fine. But if the ears are back and the other thing is happening, so it's like you've got to combo it type of thing. Like yeah. in Papers, Please, where you have to be like, oh, is the middle name different from the middle name over here? You know what I mean?
It's called Fashion Will. Look it up.
Yeah. Really thank funny. You, Eden. Jesus.
But yeah, no. And so like there could be a certain, like internally there's a gauge of how pissed off the horse is. But there's like, okay, if he's very pissed off, there's a 90% chance he'll do the ears back. You know what I mean? And so like it's, you're never quite sure. And I think that's a really interesting kind of way of explaining the horses. So on one hand, I think you would make it a series of races and those would be like in between yes. whatevers. Or you could just try to do it as like one big race at the end and the race isn't really a thing you run exactly.
What I'm thinking is one of two things. Either A, this is a very highly replayable game and you have one big race at the end and it depends on all the stats and everything that you build up or however the mechanics work together and you have like one final finish to see how it comes out and it's a short game that like lasts maybe 45 minutes or you have another one which is also replayable but it could be less replayable and you have instead like you said several races and in each of those races what was I thinking of there was something else there's another mechanic.
I know what you're talking about but yeah no that makes sense I think there's a certain amount of a roguelite element to it because I think the randomization of the horses and
yes,
their personalities
could help with that
is actually really important Valerie said I like the idea of time management element puck just
yeah.
like grocery shopping or
yeah,
something I
exactly.
to think about getting home before dark would the fee be horse specific I like the idea of having to gather
yes
different
it would
resources for each horse yeah and I think okay different horses have like a certain amount of feed that they're happy or not happy with and Kendrick has to decide like okay this is an amount that I think
this one likes duck meat
yeah and like maybe that means I need to go to the grocery store which means I can't exercise this other horse but the other thing is like when you go to the grocery store that isn't a set element of time in a block it's how fast can you go to the grocery store and get back so
yes.
there's an element of uncertainty there as well and also stress
and also when you go out to do chores and shit like that you can have pop-up events that can take you longer so you're also gambling with that so like for example a mutt comes around and he you have like a 1 in 3 chance when you go out off the farm for a mutt to encounter you.
I'm just imagining it as like an anime RPG maker like Sean Kendrick.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly what I'm picturing. No, what I'm picturing is do you remember Zelda on the Game Boy?
Yes.
Where the witch would suddenly pop up and she'd bump into you? And when she bumped into you, all your like stuff you had in your inventory would come out and she'd steal 2 or 3 items and then run away and you had to go find her. That's what Mutt would be.
I think that would be very cool. You could also be, and so like the thing is like you could lose other people who are working in the stables at the time.
Oh and, yeah. And then you have to do more work. Oh my God, this is getting more complicated, but I like it.
And the other thing is like you could do something where it's like, okay, the ending is dependent on, like, do you want to say, I forget what his horse is called. Do you remember what it's called?
I can't, but look at this question. This is a good question.
Can the feed be gathered in the wild? Like, it's cheaper in the store, but it takes longer.
Yes.
I'm thinking that maybe it's something a little bit less systematized, and it's more like, okay, some horses like clover, and you got to go out in the field to do it. Because I like the sense that, like, Sean Kendrick has, like, a specialized knowledge. But that would be something that, yeah, kind of would need to be worked on a little bit.
This is also a good point.
Dust says, sounds right. Is the horse overfed and lazy or underfed and tired? Each would be a sweet spot, and going into the race, if it's too high or low, the performance would be impacted. Yes, and you know what would actually be very cool? If there was a mechanic where when you're working, like, to know what's going on with the horse, the body language is only clear when Sean Kendrick is interacting with the horse as an exercise. And so
yes.
you're not exercising
yes.
them just to make them happy, but so that you know what the horse is like at this point.
That's cool. That I like that idea, actually.
You know what I mean? So you're like, oh, no. He needs to be kept farther away from, I only can have like veteran assistants handle him, or like, no, it's not a good idea if you race this horse right now. And maybe you can actually kill other characters you don't
yes!
like by having them go by horses.
So what I was going to say is, so Sean Kendrick
fun.
Is basically all the strategy, all the actual gameplay, whereas Puck is more like telltale.
Yeah, and you can kind of switch back and forth.
Yes, and so you can also affect how other people view, how fun would it be if you could also affect how other people view Sean Kendrick and your actions as Sean Kendrick, depending how Puck, the person who maybe has like higher esteem in a different way, like social esteem, like as in, which would be a little different because she's really poor and young in the book, but like change it a little. And that way you can actually alter how people view an event.
Well, I think it would also be kind of cool if you live through the same day, but through two different point of
views.
So you guys can actually kind of interact based of like, oh, Sean Kendrick was at the store, but then he like said hi to me, but then he wouldn't come with me. And it's like,
and it's like 14 days in total or however many, isn't it 3 weeks or something like that, or a month or something in the book?
I don't remember, but I think that would be,
whatever that was, that.
And the ending of the game is like dependent. Again, do you want to save his horse? Is that a mission that you choose, so to speak, of like, or do you decide to leave the island afterwards? Do you decide this life isn't for you? Do you decide to stay there? Do you end up dying? Did you end up murdering a bunch of people? I'm not big on like endings that are moral choices where it's like, kill the child or be a hero. Like, I think they're best when the narrative itself tells you something about it instead of the
Yes, I know what you mean. It doesn't tell you in so many words. Instead, you made the choices to do the experience. Therefore, the results speak for themselves.
Yeah, and exactly. And you get to interpret those results as you want. So like there's a game, for example, called Spec Ops The Line. That was very good. And like you would come to certain choices in the game, but instead of a Mass Effect, like press A or B, it would be contextualized within the gameplay. So like there's one part where you come up against there are some like terrorists being hung up on a tree, and one of the guys, because you're dealing with like a Heart of Darkness type of situation, Apocalypse Now, where he's like, okay, these people, they murdered somebody, I'm going to shoot them with snipers unless you shoot them. And I was like, fuck that. And I tried to shoot the snipers and it didn't work, but it was like, okay, nobody is at the end being like, okay, here's 5 morality points. But like, it kind of tells you something through it. So I think that, I think that would be such a cool game.
Honestly, the more we flesh it out, the more interested it, because originally when you brought it up, I thought, you know, like, okay, I mean, that's great and all. I'm glad you're getting creative about it, but I don't really care that much about Scorpio Races as a game. But the more we've talked about it, honestly, I can picture it in the style of Darkwood. But, or like the one I showed, the info, blah, 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 blah one, where it's just like pixely impressionism.
Yes, pixelated impressionism is a great word for it.
I love those games because you can get away with cheap product for a lot. And I just feel like people, like, if anybody hasn't already, I highly recommend two streamers / YouTubers if you like those small games and stuff. Do you mind if I plug two people?
Yes. This is, they did not pay for advertising. They are not allowed. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I don't know. I'm going to ask you. So it's Mr. Craven and something Wolf. I'm forgetting his name. John Wolf. There we go. I remember. John Wolf also does a lot of small time. It's all mostly horror, but it's not only purely horror, but it's most horror. Those two people, if you want to see a lot of small games that do very creative things with a very small time and budget, like they do a lot of game bangs, you know, like not gang bangs, but game bangs, where like you have 24 to 48 hours to make an entire game by yourself.
No, those are called game jams.
Oh, I'm getting it confused. Hey.
With mukbang?
No. I'm getting it confused with the fanfiction version, which are called bangs and reverse bangs, which is like when you either make the art and write a story about the art, or you write a story and then make the art. One of the two.
It's so funny. Game jams,
everyone. Game jams. I'm sorry.
Okay, do we want to try and flesh out? Well, because the thing is, you're right. The thing is, once you start thinking, I was like, this is a cool idea for it, but it's not that cool. It's just a management sim. Like, and won't that kind of ruin the playability of the game? Or like, the coolness of the concept? But yeah, the thing is, once you explore it more, you kind of get deeper and you're like, okay, this could be interesting. So I think we can go two different directions here. We can either try to map out some of these gameplay mechanics and see, like, kind of try to quantify them and figure out how those would play, or we could try looking at another book. If you want to, really quickly, we can look at any other books and see if they give us any like ideas, and then go back to Scorpio Races if they don't.
Yeah, I'd like to try other ones.
What?
No, it was a peasant.
Did you ever see The Last Night and its pixel art? Because its pixel art is gorgeous.
It sounds very familiar, but I don't know if I know it.
It's been in development for forever, but it's like pixel art. This doesn't do it justice because it's pixel art, but it's in movement with like particle effects.
Yeah, I love that type of stuff though.
Ooh. Oh my god, why is it being slow?
Bro, why don't you
let me... I pay so much for my internet. But see how, like, the particle effect... They're like, there's really nice particle effects, too.
Yeah, I can't appreciate it here, though. Everybody should go watch it on their own.
Yeah, it's true. This is, a small version of it. Okay, so I think Remnants also, by the way, could make for a good action game. Kind of like,
No.
A bit survival, a bit...
Like the game I just showed you. Or like Darkwood. That's Remnants.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm thinking. And you would also be able to switch, I think, between different characters would be kind of cool. Where, like, you know, Mo has, who's the more, like, athletic one, can, move around and hit things a little bit better, but you can switch between the different characters, I think, real time would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be the only way to keep it interesting, in my opinion. I mean, really, like, actually, not interesting, but, like, dynamic in a way that's more up to date rather than, like... You mm-hmm. know, games in the 2015s.
Well, you want to do something interesting with it. Okay, so the other thing I thought we could do is like a... a lot of people have mentioned this, but yeah, Mortal Engines, I was thinking, because we mentioned this in the stream, it would just be like Frostpunk, but in a moving, crawling thing.
Yes, Mortal Engines but is very video gamey, though, already, in essence. Like, you could have a Mortal Engines game in almost, not all... but in almost all formats of gaming, and you would have a good game. Because Mortal Engines has everything built into it that could be a fun video game. The book sucks, but like...
Yeah, but there's a lot of interesting stuff there. I mean, like, again, you could make it like an action game, which would be fine, but I think the most interesting thing would be to kind of be like a city builder. But, you know, this big machine and like you get to eat other things.
Never mind. Your version of what I was picturing is way better. Yeah, as a city builder, like literally Frostpunk... animated, but as a city builder, that sounds sick as fuck.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And then it would also be like you'd be able to pick different cities to kind of try to go
like a fishing game. Like a fishing game. It's a fishing game, like the bass game, where you would mm-hmm. be like, good catch. Or no, it would be like it would be like big one. Or something like that. I was just watching a review of the games the other day.
And you would be able to, like, work out a scouting network, and then you find different cities, and, like, what the different cities have, you can then put into your city. But you also got to pick things, like, I wouldn't want, like, quick time events. I think it would be more like, okay, you're now tracking this city, and you got to match speed, and if the speed is going to cost you extra gas.
Yeah.
So you got to kind of think about it beforehand. You got to be like, all right, is this a sunk cost
thing? That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, like, I think that would be kind of, like, a really cool thing. I think internal factions within would be kind of a cool idea.
It's literally Frostpunk, but better.
I haven't really played Frostpunk. I actually started it a little bit ago. I started a little bit of it, but...
I love it, but as William knows, it cuts off on its replayability. Like, there is a point where you get where it's just the same stuff over and over again very soon.
I think the thing about it is that... So this is something I've thought about having played Total Warhammer a lot, and the thing about those games, and this is just kind of a constant thing for a lot of types of games, is that they're really fun in the beginning, and then at the end, it kind of stops being fun because, like, it's hard for the designers to be able to balance everything. And so I think this would be something where you would want a system that organically creates kind of a rival city, like a nemesis city, you know what I mean, where it's like there's another, like, I don't know, Germany or Berlin or whatever, and that one kind of tramps through, and like you could see organically the other cities grow in power, like they're playing the same game the same time you are, and you could kind of weight the system so that one of them becomes your other main rival city, and that's the one that eventually you're gonna have to face down, and like the candidates slim over time.
Is that basically what High Fleet is? I'm looking at images from it.
I'm not sure. Here, let me...
This looks really cool, this one screen capture I saw of it, where it's measuring the level of material you can get from each thing that you attack or go to look for. I'm assuming that's what it is.
But yeah, I mean,
this
that
looks really
cool.
Good.
Yeah, I haven't heard of it before, but yeah, that looks really...
I need to check this out. This looks like just like Frostpunk, but slightly more mature. Like mature, not in level, but mature in ability to mm-hmm. handle.
Yeah, it looks really cool. So yeah, I'll have to check that out. All right, so getting back to it, I also thought this would be kind of like a layup, but like Coraline as a video game, I think that would be a lot of fun.
We already spoke about it. It's a great combo of
Little Nightmares,
yes,
and something
yes.
else. Yeah, I think that would make for like a pretty good game. Did you have any books you thought were like would make for interesting ones?
Do you
that we
mind
haven't talked
if
about?
I quickly look at a list of what we read?
I have a headache, so go ahead.
Princess Floralinda would be a great side scroller.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like as an hour-long game that just is like really cute platformer, or like with like some like small side, like kind of like what's that one game called with the girl that climbs the mountain, the snowy mountain? It starts with a C, I think.
I don't know. The other thing I was thinking for Flora Linda would be, it would be like a Souls-like game where it's just a series of boss fight battles.
Yes, that's what I mean. It's called Celeste. Thank you, science. You've known every time. One that would be like a good Celeste.
I didn't really put ones on the list that I thought would be too obvious, I don't think. Keys to the Kingdom, again, me if Mary and Maria did that, I think that would be a ton of fun, because I think each kingdom would have like a different mechanic, sort of Half-Life 2 style, where you keep getting like a different gameplay system. Somebody mentioned the Saviors series. I think that actually could kind of work too, as like a action platformer, so there's like platforming elements in the maze that are kind of consistent, and then also you would like have like light combat elements, though I actually would like to see it as an old school point and click adventure, because I just think that would be really funny. But like, see, that's kind of the thing when I'm thinking about these, is like, what can make for an interesting gameplay mechanic, an expressive one that has like really interestingness to it?
Well, see, there's a lot of options as far as gameplay mechanics go, like we've gone over. But you know what's sad is that there are many books that we've read that just simply don't have like some type of clear area that manifests in a way in a video game world that's like instantly like, yes, this works.
Yeah, it's true, because video games need to have like a fairly, the environment needs to be really key in movement through the environment, because that's almost always a thing in video games. You need to have some kind of an interesting magic system, like that would help a lot, or an interesting system to manage, and like a lot of the games, again, the, like the problem with like Akamath is like the character just sits around not doing anything. So if you're gonna adapt it, you have to fix a lot of them just sitting around to them going and doing things.
See, that's why I said dating simulator, because that is a lot of sitting around and doing nothing.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, no, I've never played one, so I couldn't really say.
Oh, yeah. A dating sim is all dialogue and what you choose to say, but honestly, half the things you say are very limited and it doesn't really matter. And it's like a mobile game, you know? Like, there are very few that actually have repercussions that matter. Or if they do, they're, like, so wildly different in what you choose that it's like, how am I supposed to know that that's what I'm supposed to choose? So you almost have to, like, look up a cheat to get what you want.
I mean, there's also other ones. So, like, A Million to One, for example, I think could be, like, a much funner heist game than it did an actual book. That's the Titanic heist Girl Squad one that you didn't read. That was awful and made me understand the concept of author jail. But yeah, I think that's good for today. You guys in the comments, which books would you like to see as video games, and like specifically what kind of a video game?
Yeah, did we miss anything?
Would you like to see us expand on one of the ideas here or go more into the mechanics? Would you like to see this done with a specific book? I think this is like just a very fun idea.
Yeah, we did a very brief overview of everything just for the sake of exploration.
Yeah, because I mean, the thing is, you know, taking a lot of time to go into a game idea and then it just not being that interesting, I didn't think would be good for you guys. But we could do that on another live stream. We will talk to you all later, our parasocial darlings.
All right, bye.